Today is the last in the Worldwide Message series, and our subject today is pointing to the Saviour. The readings I'm going to be doing, they won't be on the screen, but the readings we'll be doing are in Acts and in the NIV Bible, but also readings in Colossians, which is in the New Testament in modern English, because I think it just sounds a bit better in there. I've also got a map to put on the screen. As you can see, I did hope it was going to be a bit bigger, but if that's the best we can do, is that better? That's better. It's just to show the first missionary journey, which is what the story is all about, and with Paul in particular. So I'll leave that up there, so when I mention names and places, possibly you might be able to see it. But in Acts chapter 14, we read this. In Lystra, which is on the screen, that's in the middle up there, there was sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. A miracle indeed. Today I want to talk about Paul in the main, and it's just in Colossians we read what Paul's statement, you know, I think, about what he was doing and why he did it. In Colossians chapter 1 we read this, "For I am a minister of the church by divine commission, a commission granted to me for your benefit and for a special purpose, that I might fully declare God's word, that sacred mystery which up until now has been hidden in every generation, but which is now as clear as daylight to those who love God. They are those to whom God has planned to give a vision of the full wonder and splendor of his secret plan of salvation for the nations. And the secret is simply this: Christ is in you." Yes, Christ in you, bringing with him the hope of all the glorious things to come. And this is what Paul says. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet. We teach everyone we can all that we know about him, so that if possible, we may bring every man and woman up to their full maturity in Christ Jesus. And this is the bottom line, which really got me when I read this in this version. This is what I am working at all the time, with all the strength God gives me. This is the Apostle Paul writing with passion about his ambition to preach Christ to as many people as possible. So let's begin with prayer. Father God, we look at this story about the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. We pray for receptive hearts and minds and ask that you will give us the passion to preach Christ to as many people as possible. We ask this in Jesus' name. After the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, many Jews who were becoming followers of Jesus. There was also a growing number of people from other nationalities. And about AD 44, in Antioch in Syria, which is on the screen if you can just see it on the side, that place was one of the main cities of the Roman Empire at the time, and it became known as a place where the Jewish converts to Christianity were meeting together, but also a lot of people who were not Jews. And they were actually meeting together when, as far as the Jews usually were concerned, they wouldn't be seen dead doing this. And so in Antioch, that is what was happening. And in fact, it was in Antioch that they were first called Christians. Paul was invited by his friend Barnabas to help the leaders of this group. And in Acts chapter 13, we read this, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting in this church, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. We have just read how God called Barnabas and Paul. It is worth noting that the Holy Spirit was at the center of all that transpired. And for those who of us who follow Christ, it is knowing that is when we are asked to do something by God, whatever it is, the fact that he is with us gives us an incredible strength for the days when doubts and challenges are faced. We have so much in Christ. Paul and Barnabas first went to Cyprus in what became known as the first missionary journey. The strategy was to focus on places where there was a Jewish synagogue so that the Jews could be told the good news first. Again, as another passion Paul had for his own people. A considerable number of people who weren't Jews, called God-fearers in those days, also attended the services and even participated in some of the Jewish festivals. Many of these people's minds were open to the good news that was to be preached. Most other people at that time just worshipped many different gods made of wood and stone. I just put down that the good news about Jesus baffled them. They just couldn't get the hang of it. Paul and Barnabas then sailed from Cyprus to a port called Perga in what is now southern Turkey. From Perga they went on to Pisidian Antioch, and the word of the Lord spread through the whole region as the Lord enabled them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The same strategy as in Cyprus was followed, but there was also increasing opposition from many of the Jews, as many of the God-fearers became followers of Jesus. They next went on to a major city called Iconium with the same story of many people becoming followers of Jesus, together with the opposition that came with it. And so after a while preaching there and bringing people to Christ, they then left for Lystra. Reading the Acts of the Apostles is like being on a roller coaster with one amazing breakthrough after another, interspersed with troubles and challenges. But this period covers the most important event in history, as far as I'm concerned, when the good news about Jesus spread from Jerusalem to the whole Roman Empire and then to the ends of the world. If we were to share our testimonies of how we came to accept Jesus as our Saviour, there would be so many different stories. The amazing thing is that despite all the differences of race and cultures, God brings us together as his son and daughters in Christ, which is a miracle in itself. We should cherish all that he has given us and the promises of his word. The next step in the story is in this town of Lystra, which did not have a synagogue and probably very few Jews or God-fearers lived there. They were pagans who also worshipped the Roman emperor. We know there was a temple to Zeus outside the town. The strategy that had been so successful so far would not work in Lystra because the people did not know about the God of the Jews. It would seem as if Paul was struggling until he saw that man we read earlier who had never walked listening to him. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed, and when told to jump up and walk, he did. The crowd round them were amazed, and Paul had their full attention. In Well, between the end of the 19th century and the early 20th century, William Booth and the Salvation Army were going great guns, as far as I remember. I wasn't there, but I can read that they were. And one day they wanted to evangelize Manchester. And the way they did it, well, how do you get the attention of a large number of people? Well, at that time, there were very few cars in the country. Very few indeed. So what they did, I don't know where they got them from, but they got a big bunch of these cars, whole group of these cars, and drove into the city centre to talk about the gospel to the people. And instantly, there were people listening. And this is what we have to do sometimes, is find ways of reaching people. But when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." And Paul and Barnabas got what they didn't quite expect. For the priest of Zeus brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. When the apostles heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. 2 weeks ago, this church celebrated Harvest, where we brought food to share with the needy and a bring and share lunch with meals from many different countries. So much food, so much variety, which reminded us how our living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them, provides for us. The fact that he shows kindness by giving us rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. May we never forget that he is creator of everything. He is over all, in all, and through all things. But getting back to the story, some Jews came from Iconium and turned the crowd against Paul and Barnabas. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city and left him for dead. And then we have this verse in Acts which just said very simply, when the disciples had gathered around him, Paul just got up and went back into the city. And the next day, they continued on their journey and left for the next city of Derbe. I think that's amazing. You know, what resilience this man had. I don't know about you, I must admit, so I would have wanted 6 months off, at least. At Derbe, the people responded to Paul's preaching. And then, after that, after successfully preaching the word in Derbe, Paul then and Barnabas started to retrace their steps back through those cities that they had been preaching, where all the opposition was, and they were determined to go back through them. And there they appointed elders to look after the church that were beginning to be formed. And it must have been an amazing time to see all these people who have never heard the gospel come into Christ. The Paul and Barnabas, but each time when they did this, they did it with prayer and fasting, committing them to the Lord. And as you read through the story, you notice the emphasis on prayer and fasting. The early church felt that that it was essential to do this. And sometimes I wonder whether we like it too easy and are not prepared to do the prayer and fasting. The Apostle Paul was an incredibly focused person. We might say that he was given a special calling, which he was, that he was a leader, and that's what people should expect of him. But let us read what Jesus said when he was alive, talking to a crowd with his disciples. And this is what Jesus said. He said that if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And if you go to the other Gospels, you find that Jesus was even more emphatic with that, about denying ourselves. He wasn't just challenging the disciples, who were the future leaders of the church. He was challenging every single one there that day, and also us today, to deny ourselves and follow him. One way. And the question I have to ask myself in this easy place to live, which is Croydon, is there any cost to being a follower of Jesus? Is there any cost to the testimony that we give? Do we give up anything for him? Do we give up our time and treasure if we have to? Because if you want to read about Paul, for instance, what Paul suffered in the years when he was God's ambassador to the Gentiles. If you read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, what he went through was incredible. But to him, it meant nothing. Because of Jesus. The heading for today has been pointing to the Saviour. And the most well-known verse in the Bible for most of us is John chapter 3 verse 16. And most of us could possibly say it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So simply stated, but so important. Most of us here can testify to the impact on us of making a decision to believe in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But did you know that there is a second John 3:16 in the Bible? That there is a letter that the Apostle John wrote many years later, which is included in the New Testament. And this is what it says in that John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Strong words from John. And then he goes on to say this, dear children, let us not just love with words and tongue, but with actions and in truth. When I first became a Christian at 18 in the Brethren Church, the first thing they did after baptizing you was to say, well, what are you going to do now? You know, what things does God want you to do now? The recent turmoil in the world is beginning to shake the very foundations of the way of life that we have got used to in this country. Just think of the contents of the news outlets, you know, when you troll through all the various things. You know, I'll give a few examples. There's a lack of confidence in the political parties at the moment. There's a lack of confidence in the police and the judiciary. There's a lack of confidence in the financial structures of the nation. We might find out a bit more in November. And we could go on. People, I believe, of all backgrounds are worried about the future for themselves and their families. But it wasn't much different in the time of Paul and Barnabas. If you had Nero as the Prime Minister, what would you think? At the start of the service, I read a passage from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. I'll read again that last sentence. This is what he said. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet and we teach everyone we can all that we know about him, so that if possible, we may bring every man and woman up to his or her full maturity in Christ Jesus. And Paul then says these words. Can we say them? This is what I am working at all the time with all the strength God gives me. This is what I am working at all the time with all the strength God gives me. What people are looking for when they meet Christians is authenticity. And people notice that if you say you're a Christian, often people notice something. And if you do anything that they think is against what you proclaim to be, they remind you. Authenticity is key. That is why John wrote in his letter we read earlier, "Dear children, let us not just love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." These days, when there is so much bad news, let us share the good news about Jesus. And I'll just finish with a few things. There's a chorus that came to mind when I was preparing this, which I haven't remembered for decades. And these are the words. I won't sing it. It'd be too much for you. Living, this is about Jesus. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins away, totally out of the way. Rising, he justified me freely forever. One day, he is coming back. Oh, glorious day. This is my Jesus. This is the Jesus Paul spent all his life serving. Is he yours? Amen.